Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Chicago Sports Network podcast edition. This is Reikley Ruby, your host, and as always, make sure you hit that subscribe button, whether you're on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, or on Spotify. Make sure you are following us on all those apps and subscribe to my YouTube channel. Just check out the Chicago Sports Network on YouTube. We are always right below that. Make sure you are following, and let's get started right after a word from our sponsor. That was a great word from our sponsor, Anchor. Make sure you check out Anchor and download that in the App Store. They are a great sponsor and always make sure you check them out. Let's get started with today's podcast. I just want to welcome you to my first ever edition of the Chicago Sports Network podcast. This is a great podcast that is a podcast version of my YouTube channel, the Chicago Sports Network. If you ever want to check out the video version of this format, go ahead and subscribe to Chicago Sports Network on YouTube. Just search us up in the search bar, and we will be right ahead of there. Today, I am doing my first of 2021's NFL mock draft. If you ever want to check out any of my mock drafts team by team or the visual version of this, go ahead and check out my YouTube channel at Chicago Sports Network. So, let's get started with today's podcast. With the first overall pick, I have the Jacksonville Jaguars selecting Trevor Lawrence, quarterback out of Clemson University. Trevor Lawrence is just the number one prospect in this draft. Even though some people may say it's Penei Sewell or Ja'Marr Chase or stuff like that, even as a Notre Dame fan, it is obviously Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is a once-in-a-generational quarterback. I would compare him to Andrew Luck or to John Elway back in the day. I think that he is just obviously the number one pick, and the Jacksonville Jaguars obviously need a quarterback with the caliber of Trevor Lawrence to really build out that franchise, and I think he'll be a great piece to an Urban Meyer offense. With the second overall pick, the New York Jets select Zach Wilson, quarterback at a BYU University. I think that Zach Wilson really fits a great system that I think Robert Saleh is going to bring in. And to be honest, this system scares me. Robert Saleh brought in, I think it's Mike LaFleur, who is Matt LaFleur's brother. So in case if you're wondering, that is going to be their offensive coordinator. And the reason why this is so important is because the one thing that I told my dad as a Niners fan that I would be scared of is if Zach Wilson went to the San Francisco 49ers. And even though he won't be going to the 49ers, it scares me because I think that he could be just as good as almost anybody else on the field. I think that with him in a West Coast-style Shanahan infused offense, and now it's the Flores offense, I think that this will be a great offense. And I think Zach Wilson is so much better than Sam Darnold, especially for this system. I think that he is a better fit, and that is why I have them taking Zach Wilson and not Penei Sewell or Rashawn Slater or Ja'Marr Chase. I think that a quarterback is a necessity here, and I think Zach Wilson is the perfect fit. With the third overall pick, I have the Miami Dolphins selecting Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver out of LSU University. I think that this is a great selection, and with the Miami Dolphins' lack of a wide receiver core past Devontae Parker and only one good tight end in Mike Gesicki, I really think that Ja'Marr Chase would be a great add-on to an already decent Miami Dolphins team that barely missed off on the playoffs with a 10-6 record. They were unfortunately kicked out of the playoffs, and even though they are a great team and they deserve to be in that playoff, I think that this team still has some improvement to do, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Their defense last year had stars at the cornerback position to the defensive end position. They really all contributed. And I think even though they are a team that is on the rise, they really need some talent to help insert into that offense with a team that kind of lacked that burst that they didn't really have most of the season with a guy like Tua Tagovailoa playing at quarterback. But I think with Ja'Marr Chase and Devontae Parker at that wide receiver position, I think that really sets him out well. With the fourth overall pick, I have the Atlanta Falcons selecting Trey Lance, quarterback out of North Dakota State University. I think that this will be a great pick right here, and I think Trey Lance is the perfect fit, especially for the Atlanta Falcons. I think Trey Lance would be a perfect fit, not only because I think he is a great quarterback, but because his development would go perfect behind Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan, I think, has 1 or 2 years good left with the Atlanta Falcons, and I think, to be honest, I think Trey Lance is the perfect understudy for him. He really exemplifies who Matt Ryan is as a quarterback. The gunslinger mentality, the semi-mobility, and Trey Lance has one of the most mobility-driven quarterbacks in this draft. And I think that he is just a great addition. And I think that if you are able to sit him behind Matt Ryan, I just don't see a defensive need. I don't see a defensive player here that could really fill in as good as Trey Lance is at quarterback. So I think Trey Lance is a great fit here. And one thing I want to preface is I know a lot of people have the Falcons trading out of this pick. I don't have any trades in this mock draft because I think it's really hard to produce what trades would go where and blah, 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 blah. I have trades in my team mock drafts, but I think when it's a one round mock draft, I just don't think that you really should have trades in it. With the fifth overall pick, I have the Cincinnati Bengals selecting Penei Sewell. I know a lot of people think that Rashad Slater is a little bit better of a player. I still think that Penei Sewell is the number one offensive tackle in this class. I think that with both of them opting out for the 2020 season, I think it pretty much evens it out. And I think that Rashawn Slater is not as good as Penei Sewell. I think that Penei Sewell is a better left tackle. I think he's a little bit more developed. I think he's a little bit higher of a ceiling. And I really think it shows whenever you watch his tape. Just go back and watch his tape. I would suggest looking up Penei Sewell on YouTube, all 22 footage, and just look at it. He is one of the best players in college football position list. Like, no matter what the position he is, I think he is one of the best players. And that's why he's the number five player in this draft class. With the number six overall pick, I have the Philadelphia Eagles selecting Kyle Pitts, tight end out of Florida. And a lot of you guys are like, whoa, a tight end in the top six picks? That's crazy. Well, let me explain this. Kyle Pitts is crazy. He is a freak athlete. He is probably a top five athlete in this class, just purely positionless football. He is a top five athlete. But I think that with Trey Lance going to the Falcons and with Justin Fields or Zach Wilson, I'm sorry, Zach Wilson going to the Jets, I just think that the teams that could kind of use him are already have a guy in place that they need a little bit more, aka a quarterback. I think that, and here's the other thing I want to say. The reason why I don't have DeVonta Smith going in this pick or Jaylen Waddle is because I think that the Eagles really struggle with getting the ball in the middle of the field. And even though Dallas Goedert is a great tight end, he is always injured. And I think, to be honest, with the Eagles' type of system that they like to run, and with Nick Sirianni coming into the coach's helm, I think that a run-first offense with a lot of 12 personnel, and if anybody doesn't know what 12 personnel is, it is two tight ends on the field with two wide receivers or sometimes two running backs. So basically, 12 personnel just means that you have two wide receivers, two tight ends. So I think that you'd be able to run a lot of 12 personnel with Dallas Goedert and Kyle Pitts. And Kyle Pitts is a wide receiver S because he has the wide receiver route running ability of a wide receiver. And he also has the physical running ability that many tight ends don't and the height. So to go along with it, I just think that Kyle Pitts is a great selection for the Eagles, especially with them lacking in the downfield threats. I think that he was a great fit there. With the seventh overall pick, I have the Detroit Lions selecting Justin Fields. And here, I know I'm going to get a little backlash from this because I know a lot of Lions fans would really like a linebacker like Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah or Micah Parsons here. I think, here's my problem here. I think Justin Fields is too good of an athlete to pass up with the seventh overall pick. I think that you have to take a guy, a generational quarterback, and even though I don't like Justin Fields as much because he went to Ohio State, and what I mean by that is not because I don't like him as a character guy, but I think that a lot of Ohio State quarterbacks fail, And I think it's because they're not prepared to go to the pros. If you look at Dwayne Haskins, if you look at Braxton Miller, and I know he didn't go to the NFL as a quarterback, but still, if you look at Cardale Jones, it's going to be a really hard time to try to name an Ohio State quarterback that succeeded in the NFL ranks. I cannot name one. I cannot think of one. And to be honest, I think the only Ohio State quarterback that I can name that isn't in the past decade is Kirk Herbstreit, and that's because he's on ESPN. So I think that it is important to note that I think the Lions could really use Justin Fields, and this is where you could have him sit behind Jared Goff a year or two, let the Lions develop as a team, and then put him into a better situation with a good coach that I believe, like Dan Campbell. And even though Dan Campbell isn't going to be calling the plays, I think that he is a good coach to be able to help develop him as a character guy and as a leader. I think that he'll help that, and I think that the offense will be a little bit better. And I think it's Anthony Lynn as their new offensive coordinator, the former Chargers coach. I think that he'll be able to develop him as an offensive passer. Now, with the 8th overall pick, I have the Carolina Panthers selecting Rashawn Slater, offensive tackle out of Northwestern University. I think that this is a great value pick, and especially at the 8th spot, and a team that could really use a tackle, especially at the right tackle position. I think that this is a great transition. And even though I know the Panthers would like to take a quarterback here, the top four quarterbacks are gone, and you don't want to be reaching for Mac Jones at the 8th overall pick. That is not going to be pretty. That is not what I would do at the Panthers position. So here's what I do. I draft Rashawn Slater, and then with Russell Okuda, or not Russell Okuda, I think it's Okwa. I know I'm saying that wrong. I know I am. I'm sorry if I mispronounce any names here too. I know I will. With him leaving the left tackle, their left tackle, he's a really expensive one. If you put Rashawn Slater at left tackle, and then maybe you bring in a cheaper right tackle next free agency, you have a developed, probably Pro Bowl to All Pro caliber player in Rashawn Slater. And I think that that will be able to help develop a team, especially a young team with hopefully another quarterback. They will be able to develop a great team effort, and I think that they will be able to be very grateful that they have a great left tackle or right tackle at their side. So, with the next overall pick, with the 9th overall pick, I'm sorry, the Broncos select Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, linebacker out of Notre Dame University. And here's the reason why I have him drafting Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a pitch perfect fit for the Vic Fangio defense. He is just like, I can't describe at all how good of a value pick he is for the Vic Fangio team. And I was debating on picking Caleb Farley, but I did this mock draft right after Kyle Fuller got released and he got signed by the Broncos. So I'm like, well, now that they have Kyle Fuller, there's not really a need for another elite cornerback when you can take an elite linebacker, especially a coverage linebacker, when they don't have really a coverage linebacker. And Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah can not only play coverage, but he can also play Mike. And to be honest, I know a lot of people would pick Micah Parsons here as a Mike linebacker. I don't think that Vic Fangio really wants a Mike linebacker as much as he wants a Sam linebacker. And again, if you don't know what a Sam linebacker is, it is a guy that kind of plays a little bit more Rover. A comparison, if you know who he is Roquan Smith for the Bears. Vic Fangio drafted him, and I think it was a 2018 draft, and he really loved him. He played him really well, developed him well, and you could kind of see that this season in the 2020 season, as he developed him super well, and he got disregarded for the All-Pro caliber slot, which he deserved. So I think that this would be a great pick, and this could be Vic Fangio's Roquan Smith. With the 10th overall pick, the Dallas Cowboys select Caleb Farley, cornerback out of Virginia Tech. And I know this is kind of a boring pick where everybody has Caleb Farley going to the Cowboys, and I don't think I do need to do too much explaining here of why. But I think that Caleb Farley is just a great player, and I think that the Cowboys could really use a second cornerback especially in the division that they play in. With the Atlanta Falcons, you have guys like Julio Jones and Russell Gage and Calvin Ridley. So you have two number ones in Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones, and you have probably a wide receiver two caliber player in Russell Gage. So you have a great wide receiver core, and the Cowboys need to be able to match up with that, or they need to be able to match up with maybe a healthy Eagles team with another wide receiver threat, whether that's Kyle Pitts, Ja'Marr Chase, DeVonta Smith, or Jalen Waddle. I think that they'll pick up a wide receiver, and hopefully they'll pick up the right one, and hopefully they will be able to develop him. And then you need to be able to guard against maybe the Giants. They have a lot of. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. The Falcons aren't in the Cowboys division. I'm sorry. That went over my head for a second because they were geographic. I'm sorry. The Giants have a decent wide receiver core there that you would need to be able to guard, and I think that that is pretty important there. And able to guarding them, I think that you have guys like Sterling Shepard that really could cause problems for a weak secondary, and I think that really showed in the I think it was the second to last game of the season for the Giants that they about made the playoffs in if they didn't get screwed over by the Eagles. With the 11th, speaking of the Giants, with the 11th overall pick, I have the Giants selecting Jalen Waddle, wide receiver out of Alabama. So the reason why I think the Giants should really select him here is A, even though they have a pretty decent wide receiver core, you can never have enough wide receivers. And with the speedster, which is something that they're lacking incredibly, they could really use a guy like Jalen Waddle. The one thing that Jalen Waddle showed at Alabama was that he was a speedster that could burn way past a defense and be able to get down the field for you and get you big chunks of yards really quickly. And that's key in today's NFL. You have to be able to get down the field quickly and score points quickly, especially in today's NFL. So with that pick, I think the Giants really shored up in that position of getting down the field quickly, even though they may or may not trust their quarterback in Daniel Jones. With the 12th overall pick, I have the 49ers selecting Patrick Surtain, the second cornerback out of Alabama. And I understand that a lot of people would be like, well, the Niners have signed a lot of cornerbacks at this point, and they don't really need another one. Well, none of their cornerbacks are extremely talented, and with the loss of their defensive coordinator, I think that they could use a lot more talent and not rely on coaching as much as they do, I think, right now. Their cornerback position is really weak, and without Richard Sherman, there's a little bit of veteran leadership, but it's really lacking. And I think that with Patrick Surtain, you not only get a good player, but you also get some leadership there. Patrick Surtain really, I think, had a lot of leadership attributes and attributes on that Alabama defense. And I think he'd just be a great pickup there to add to a pretty weak Niners secondary. And otherwise, the Niners defense is one of the best in the NFL. So I really think when you add Patrick Surtain there, you really get a great player. With the number 13th overall pick, I have the Los Angeles Chargers, selecting Christian Darrisaw, left tackle out of Virginia Tech University. I think that this is a great selection for a multitude of reasons. A being that you need to protect the franchise quarterback in Justin Herbert. B being that Christian Darrisaw is a top 15 caliber player. And C being that the Chargers offensive line is not only garbage, it is flaming garbage. They have a really bad offensive line, and especially at the tackles positions, I think that they could use a lot of help. And I think that Christian Darrisaw really shores up that left side or the right side, whichever one you want to put him at, for cheap and for a well-developed player like him. I think that is a great selection. With the 14th overall pick, I have the Minnesota Vikings desperately selecting Gregory Rousseau, defensive end out of Miami University. To be honest, after this offseason, I was really surprised that Mike Zimmer didn't decide to retire. And I think that Mike Zimmer didn't decide to retire mostly because I think he thinks that he can develop another star defensive end. And I think that developing a star defensive end starts with getting a guy with talent. And well, a great guy landed right in the Vikings' lap. Gregory Rousseau, probably the most talented defensive end in this class. He did not play most of last year, and he really, really has fallen off hype-wise. I think a lot of people thought he was going to be the top guy in this class, and it's more Quiddy Pay now. And I think even some are arguing his edge-rushing buddy in Jalen Phillips. I think that this is an important piece in the Vikings' new defense, that they really lack edge-rushing, and with a talented guy in Gregory Rousseau and a talented defensive head coach in Mike Zimmer, I think that they can really improve their pass rush in a NFC North that is very much competitive with the Packers at the top, the Bears trying to do something, and a desperate Ryan Pace to get a quarterback, and a rebuilding Lions team, and maybe a rebuilding Vikings team. We'll see what they do in this draft, but I think the best pick available for them is at 14 is Gregory Rousseau. With the 15th overall pick, I have the Patriots, New England Patriots, selecting Micah Parsons, linebacker out of Penn State University. So here's the reason why I like Micah Parsons here. The Patriots are great with guys that have some issues and bringing them in into the Patriot culture and saying and making those issues just like they it just go away, in a sense that these guys do not have many more issues go on their personal life the way they did before. I think that they really do a good job at developing these players and leadership skills, and I think that the perfect coach for Micah Parsons is Bill Belichick. I think that with a lot of older players on that New England defense, and especially weak at the linebacker position, I think that Micah Parsons is a great addition here. I think that Micah Parsons is now going to be able to play a Mike / Slam backer position, and I think when you're able to put him in that position, I think that's a position where he can succeed and play really well. I think that you don't want to pick Micah Parsons too high, and I don't think he will be picked too high, but I think that Micah Parsons is the perfect fit for the Patriots, and especially with them signing Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, I think that really shows that they're not picking another tight end in Kyle Pitts. With the 16th overall pick, I have J.C. Horn. All right, the Cardinals selecting J.C. Horn, cornerback out of the Arizona for the Arizona Cardinals, out of South Carolina University. I'm sorry, mixed up my words there. But the Arizona Cardinals defense is lacking a couple of things here. Before, I thought they should draft Quiddy Pay, but they signed J.J. Watt. Now, they don't really need edge rush. So I'm like, well, what's their second need on the team? And I'm like, well, cornerback is a pretty big need, and J.C. Horn, the third best cornerback in this class, is still available. And he is a first-round corner with a lot of potential in the NFL. And I'm like, well, why don't we select him here, and hopefully he is able to fit that need that they have after Patrick Peterson probably retires in the next couple of years. I think that this is a really weak Cardinals cornerback core, and I think if you draft a guy like J.C. Horn with their 16th overall pick, I think that really improves their cornerback stock, and I think that if they're able to do that, they'll do a great job and a better job at defending people's passing attack, and I think that J.C. Horn is the answer there. With the 17th overall pick, I have the Las Vegas Raiders selecting Quiddy Pay, defensive end out of Miami. Michigan University, my bad. Quiddy Pay is probably the number one pass rusher, but I think that in my mind, I think Gregory Rousseau is, but I think a lot of people are still very high on Quiddy Pay, and I am very high on Quiddy Pay. He is my number two edge rusher, and I think that he is a perfect fit for a lackluster defense and edge rush of the Las Vegas Raiders. I think that he is a perfect fit for a team like the Las Vegas Raiders, and I think that he will be able to develop a good relationship there, and he'll be able to fill a need that the Las Vegas Raiders have. With the 18th overall pick, I have the Miami Dolphins with their second first-round pick selecting Christian Barmore, defensive tackle out of Alabama. This is a fantastic pick. Like, I just love this pick for the Miami Dolphins here. And even though I think that they could still use a little bit more of offensive line help at the right tackle position or right guard position, or maybe another safety, like a strong safety next to Byron Jones, or they could use maybe a linebacker. I think that the one position that they could use is a two-gapping guy, or not even a two-gapping guy, a great defensive tackle, an athletic defensive tackle, like Christian Barmore. Christian Barmore has really risen up boards in these past couple of weeks. Like, I did a mock draft in December for the Chicago Bears. With the 79th overall pick, Christian Barmore was still there. And I think that Christian Barmore has really risen up draft boards with his game performances against Florida, Notre Dame, and especially in the national championship game against Ohio State. He really showed out, and I think that that was perfectly on display in that game. And I think that the Dolphins, my best comparison to him is Akeem Hicks of the Chicago Bears, and I think that he is a great selection there. I think that he will be a great addition there, and I think that he will be able to fill a need and a great value at that 18th slot. Now we are on to the number 19th overall pick. The Washington football team selects Mac Jones, quarterback out of Alabama. So here's the thing about this pick that I have to say, and it mostly comes down to this. The Washington football team has a lot of different quarterbacks, but none of them are good. And I think that they have so much talent on their team that it is just a quarterback away from really becoming a great team. They're a good team, but they're not a great team. And that's where it really comes down to is a guy like Mac Jones, a guy that had a prolific offensive receiving set and running back in Najee Harris, and whether you go for the 2019 receiving core or the 2021, they were very, very, very dynamic with tons and tons of talent there. Which one do you like better is a matter of discussion. They're both elite wide receivers, wide receiving cores. But here's the thing. When you get to the NFL, is he going to fade off? And if he's drafted by the Washington football team, I'm going to have to say no. I think that this is a perfect fit for him. I think that Mac Jones is a great player. I think he can be a good quarterback. I think he can be a stable quarterback. And I think at the Washington football team, especially with Terry McLaurin and Logan Thomas, and you have at the running back position, you have two great running backs there. I think overall, you just have a really good team, and I think Mac Jones fits perfectly in there. And if you don't start him week one, you can still start Alex Smith or another quarterback like that. With the 20th overall pick, I have the Chicago Bears selecting Devontae Smith, wide receiver out of Alabama. And before anybody says anything, I understand that I'm a Bears fan, and people are going to think I'm biased. So I want to go through this. Before the last receiver that I have drafted, who is Jaylen Waddle, to the Giants at 11, I think Jaylen Waddle is a better wide receiver. But even if you want to swap him, you can. I don't care. With the 12th overall pick, the Niners selected Patrick Surtain II. There is no way the Niners need a wide receiver over a cornerback, especially like Patrick Surtain. Just in my opinion. The Chargers drafted Christian Darrisaw. They are not in the need of a wide receiver with both Keenan Allen and you have Mike Evans. With 14th pick, Gregory Rousseau, the Vikings have to have an edge rush, and they're fine at the wide receiver position with Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson. The Patriots, they could use a wide receiver, and I was debating kind of switching these picks because the Bears kind of need a linebacker, but I probably would have picked somebody else. I just think that the Patriots kind of need a linebacker more, and maybe the Patriots do take a wide receiver, but I feel like Bill Belichick is more likely to take a linebacker than a wide receiver with that 15th overall pick. The Cardinals, I had them selecting a cornerback because, well, they don't need a wide receiver. And even though Devontae Smith is a great wide receiver, cornerback is a much bigger need. So picking J.C. Horn is a big upgrade compared to taking Devontae Smith. With the 17th overall pick, the Raiders pick Kwity Paye. The Raiders could use wide receiver help, but they have no pass rush, and they have to take a pass rusher over a wide receiver, even if the wide receiver is Devontae Smith. With the 18th overall pick, I had the Dolphins selecting Christian Barmore, defensive tackle. Dolphins don't really need a wide receiver because I have them taking Ja'Marr Chase, and they already have Devontae Parker. So it goes to the 19th overall pick, which is the Washington football team, and they're selecting Mac Jones. There is no way I'm taking Devontae Smith over Mac Jones, or Mac Jones under Devontae Smith, because the Washington football team doesn't need a wide receiver. They need a quarterback. So I know a lot of people are going to say biased, but I went through my processes there, and just so you guys know why I picked everyone there, but I had the Bears selecting Devontae Smith, because to be honest, even if the Bears have Allen Robinson now, you ain't passing up on Devontae Smith when all the quarterbacks are gone. All the quarterbacks and defensive backs, I'm going to call them defensive backs so that way you know what I'm talking about. You could pick Elijah Vera Tucker here, but I don't think he's a great offensive tackle here. Maybe Creed Humphrey. Maybe Samuel Cosby. But Tevin Jenkins was on my mind here, but I think that Devontae Smith is just too good of a player to pass up here. With the 21st overall pick, I have the Colts selecting Elijah Vera Tucker, offensive tackle slash offensive guard out of Southern Cal University. And the reason why I had him picking here with Elijah Vera Tucker is multiple reasons. First of all, Andrew Castoranzo, I think it's called that, I'm probably wrong though, is retiring this year, so that means they need a left tackle. And the thing that I like about Elijah Vera Tucker is that not only can he play left tackle, but he can also play a guard position. So if you have an injury, you can put the best five players on the field rather than just put another backup in that's worse than another player, because he can't play that position. So I think he gives you that great versatility. And the Colts, I kind of think, needed offensive line over anything else here. With the 22nd overall pick, I have the Tennessee Titans selecting Azeez Ojulari, defensive end out of Georgia. Sorry, I said that multiple times. But the Titans, they really need a pass rush outside of Javion County. Their pass rush was just awful, and it was just not something to be proud of. And I think that the Titans really could use a pass rusher, and I think Azeez Ojulari gives them another element that they didn't even have with Javion Clowney, which was kind of a speed rusher. Because even though Clowney's a great player, I don't consider him that much of a speed rusher. I consider him more of a kind of power rush to bull rush type of guy with some speed attributes. With the 23rd overall pick, I have the New York Jets selecting Travis Etienne, running back out of Clemson. So a lot of people, I think, have Najee Harris going first, but here's my reasoning here. The Jets, again, going back to hiring Robert Saleh and Mike LaFleur, really, really, really could use a running back like Travis Etienne. I think Travis Etienne fits their system better. I think he's a better running back. And when you're going into a run-centric offense, even though it's nice to draft Zach Wilson, you kind of need a running back to go along with it. So I think that when you draft a guy like Travis Etienne, a really good running back, not only in the running game, but also in the passing game, and a very athletic guy, an extremely fast one too. He ran against Isaiah Simmons his freshman year in college, and he I think beat or lost Isaiah Simmons by one step. So he's extremely fast too. With the 24th overall pick, the Pittsburgh Steelers are selecting Najee Harris, running back out of Alabama. So basically, you could kind of change these guys up if you wanted to. But I think Najee Harris fits the Steelers better, and I think Travis Etienne fits the Jets better. So I think that Najee Harris will be a great running back for a pretty weak running back core, and with Big Ben coming back for another season, you really kind of need a running back to help that team, because when they didn't have a running game, it really hindered them, and it made them a very one-dimensional team that kind of showed later on in the season, especially after they went 11-0 and finished, I think, 12-4. With the 25th overall pick, I have the Jacksonville Jaguars selecting one of the best picks in this draft, And I like a lot of the picks in this draft because, well, I drafted them. But one of my favorite picks here is I have the Jacksonville Jaguars selecting Creed Humphrey, center out of Oklahoma University. I know a lot of you guys are going to be like, what? Creed Humphrey, a center? Oh, what? Wait, what? But here's my reasoning behind this. You really, really, really could use a guy like Creed Humphrey to be a center for a good incoming quarterback like Trevor Lawrence. And most of the needs that they needed, like they're, my second need for the team, is an athletic, really good tight end. And that's something they don't have right now with James O'Shaughnessy and Tyler Eifert. And Pat Freiermuth is available. And I was debating on picking him, but I think that Creed Humphrey is a little bit better value here. So I'm taking Creed Humphrey with this pick because it really not only just help it not only just helps Trevor Lawrence, but it helps the entire offensive line because Creed Humphrey is going to be a great NFL player. And I think with the Jacksonville Jaguars, it's going to be a great selection. With the 26th overall pick, I have the Cleveland Browns selecting Zayvon Collins, linebacker out of Tulsa University. Zayvon Collins is a great, great, great fit for the type of system that the Browns are running. And I think that the Browns could really benefit from a kind of zone-ish type linebacker like Zayvon Collins, a guy that can move around a lot, a guy that is able to get mobile and to cover guys' tight ends and be strong enough to do that. So I think that he's a great selection. He really fits already a talented roster and adds even more talent to it. For the Baltimore Ravens, I have them selecting Rashad Bateman, wide receiver out of Minnesota University. A lot of people do not have Rashad Bateman getting this far, and I agree. I don't think he will get this far, but he just fell right to the Ravens, and none of the other teams ahead of him needed a wide receiver. So I'm like, well, might as well take Rashad Bateman. So I took Rashad Bateman with that pick. This is just a clear and obvious one. The Ravens have a glaring need at the wide receiver position, and Rashad Bateman is an X type of wide receiver, a guy that can handle one-on-ones, a guy that can win one-on-ones, and a guy that is a day one starter in the NFL. So with the 28th overall pick, I have the New Orleans Saints selecting Kadarius Toney, wide receiver out of Florida. And this is another one of my picks that I really love because I just love adding talent to already talented teams. Kadarius Toney is an electric player, and he really showed it this year against with Florida. He really showed how electric he can be and how good he can be. And with Drew Brees retiring, this pick kind of hinges on whether Taysom Hill's the quarterback or whether Jameis Winston's the quarterback. And with this pick, I'd rather it be Jameis Winston because Kadarius Toney's going to be like 40 yards down the field, and Taysom Hill's going to have a hard time throwing that deep ball accurately and consistently. So I think with Kadarius Toney, you kind of have to favor Jameis Winston in the camp or find another quarterback that can throw the deep ball decently well, not like Taysom Hill. And I know that the Saints love Taysom Hill and gave him a 4-year, $140 million contract, which I just don't understand. I understand, I get that, but I still think that you have to kind of go with Jameis Winston and pick up an electrifying wide receiver. And the reason why I picked him and not somebody else was because you have to get another wide receiver to add against Michael Thomas. Without another wide receiver, your team's going to be pretty lost, and I think it's going to start to become a lackluster team with very little talent on the offensive end, and I think a team that has a lot of deficiencies that could show this offseason if they don't get a good draft. With the 29th overall pick, I have the Green Bay Packers selecting Infantu Melifantwu. I know I'm saying Melifantwu. Melifantwu. Cornerback out of Syracuse. And the reason why I have him selecting here, this guy I think is 6'3", 220, and is just a beast on the outside, and I think will be a great addition, especially across from Jaire Alexander, a guy that's a little bit smaller. I think he's 5'10", 190-ish. So if you get a bigger, stronger cornerback, I know you re-signed Kevin King, I understand that, but if Melifantwu is a way better cornerback. A, he has more talent, and B, He is just a better cornerback and more developed, I feel like, than Kevin King. So I feel like he is just a better cornerback and will give an instant upgrade to a weakened cornerback position. With the 30th overall pick, I have the Buffalo Bills, about said New York, selecting Nick Bolton, linebacker out of Missouri. So I know that they signed Matt Milano back. I understand that. But the Bills' run defense was atrocious last year. Atrocious. And I thought about taking the Washington defensive tackle, Levi Ozuiangale, or not Angale, Ozuiea, or no, I'm saying that wrong. I'm sorry. Taking Levi out of Washington. But I think that Nick Bolton really fits a great role as not only a run stopper, but also a coverage linebacker that can hang with tight ends and most running backs in the NFL and would really be a great fit and another 1-2 punch with Matt Milano there. With the 31st overall pick, I have the Kansas City Chiefs selecting Samuel Cosby, offensive tackle out of Texas University. I think that Samuel Cosby is a perfect, really good fit for a lackluster Chiefs offensive line. I think that the Chiefs offensive line would be extremely better with this pick. And with Lucas Niang taking one of those tackle spots most likely, I think that you could really have an instant upgrade here and Samuel Cosby at your other tackle spot, depending on whether you want to put him at left tackle or right tackle. I think he's a little bit more of a natural left tackle than Lucas Niang, and I think Lucas Niang would be better at right tackle. But if you wanted to swap him, that is fine with me. I think it kind of just depends on who plays better in camp and stuff like that. So I think that this really is just an instant upgrade, and I think it's pretty obvious. You just kind of got to take a tight offensive tackle here, especially with most of the dynamic wide receivers like Kadarius Toney or Jalen Waddle gone. With the 32nd and final draft pick in my first ever mock draft, I have the Tampa Bay Bucks selecting one of the biggest steals in this first round, Jalen Phillips, defensive end out of Miami. And I understand that the Bucks defensive line is already pretty solid, but here's my thing. Jason Pierce-Paul is really aging, and Shaquille Barrett may or may not be back with the Bucks this season. So with that, he is back with the Bucks. He's back on the franchise tag. I'm sorry. I apologize, but I meant he may or may not be back the following year because I don't think they'll franchise tag him for the second time because that'd be a ton of money. So I think when you draft an edge player with an immense amount of talent in the local area like Jalen Phillips, you really get a dynamic player, and not only that, but you get a local prospect that enjoys playing there and enjoys going there. So I think that wraps up my NFL mock draft. This is my first overall edition. As always, make sure you hit that follow or subscribe button, whatever you're listening to on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Make sure that you are subscribed to my YouTube channel at Chicago Sports Network. And make sure you are staying in touch and hitting that notification bell, or however you do that to make sure you are reminded of new episodes. As always, this is Reichley Ruby, and have a great day. Bye-bye.